Right, I've got a new catchphrase I want to try out. You dirty little bastard, Bob. What do you think of that?
Have you started?
I've started, yeah. Podcast? I've started the podcast.
Run it past me again.
You dirty little bastard, Bob.
I quite like it, but I don't like the B word being used too much, so can you use it sparingly?
You dirty little bastard, Mortimer.
All right, can we start this podcast? No, I don't like it, no.
Right, I just thought I'd try it out. Just, I want to introduce a different way of sort of starting this thing.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to sigh then?
No, not this week.
No, because I was going to ignore your sigh. You know, ignoring that sigh because I think sometimes it's the best. I've got a really strange noise coming from my washing machine at the moment.
Right. Have you brought it in with you?
But my washing machine.
Yeah.
No, I brought me washing, not my washing machine. and my boiler's got a strange noise, but I ignore them and life goes on. Do you know
best
what I mean?
Not do. Not to ignore the signs.
Are you ignoring any problems in your life at the moment?
All of them. Unopened letters.
Did you do that shit?
Oh, God, yeah. Why open a letter?
But you feel so good if you open them.
You don't, not when you read what's inside. You deal with what's inside, you can feel good. But
yeah, but Andy, just one of those letters might contain, like, as a valued customer of Lidl,
yeah,
you can come round this Friday and do one of those supermarket rushes.
Oh, imagine that. They'd have the little logo on the outside, though. It would be flashed up, wouldn't it? You'd know.
Would you rather... Can I test how much you would like a supermarket rush by saying, would you prefer £1,000 cash or a half-hour supermarket rush?
Half-hour?
Half-hour,
I'd take the rush.
Really?
I'd take the rush if it's half-hour. That's a lot of rushing, though. That's a lot of energy to expend.
Yeah, for
I
you.
I could probably get...
Well, you could buy some tit oil whilst you're doing it,
right,
couldn't you?
Yeah. I wouldn't be buying it. It'd be free, wouldn't it?
Well,
I'd just gravitate straight to the tit oil.
Actually,
with a couple of trolley, the trolley on each arm, and just pile it all in. That's a lifetime supply there.
I suppose that
2 minutes.
I was watching The Jungle last night, and Martin.
Childish Martin.
That 5-year-old Martin. He is his luxury item that he took into the jungle.
Tit oil?
Well, no, talcum powder.
Right.
But I think you and I know what
talcum powder?
Yeah.
Who uses talcum powder in 2016?
I think he puts it under his breasts.
Yeah.
To stop chafing.
Well, I would. I'd either oil them right up or talc them up.
£2,000 or a supermarket dash?
How long's the dash?
It's a half-hour dash.
30 minutes again.
Yeah. That's on the cusp, that.
That's
difficult.
The cusp. You know what? I'd probably take the money, but I'd spend it all in Lidl.
Right.
Have you seen the duck? The duck and pancakes.
Duck and pancakes.
And the hoisin sauce, £2.99.
I thought you were good.
£2.99, Bob.
That is amazing.
Isn't it?
How much duck, though, is there? Is it
you
just like a
leg?
You
get a lot of duck.
Yeah?
You get a lot of duck.
Do you get
big chunk of duck.
Do you get the cucumber and the spring onions with it? You do?
Yep.
You're kidding me, Andy.
I'm not.
This is at Lidl?
Yep.
Shit, man.
£2.99. It's Lobster Saturday there tomorrow as well. You know, we've got Black Friday. It's Lobster Saturday. They've been tweeting about it earlier on.
So what, you're going to get, have lobster parnaboo or something?
Do you know how much the lobster's had, Bob?
Right, you're going to tell me then, sixpence or something.
£2.99.
Well, what, is it a lobster or is it just a fat worm that they've cooked? Do you know what I mean?
They're advertising as a lobster. I don't think they'd break the law.
Well, you wouldn't question it, would you? Right, so it's time for you to choose a name, Andy, I think.
Go on then.
I'm offering you Carol Management. She's a nice lass, private school, big calves. Carol Management.
Right.
Flute McToot. Now, I've got a little spring in my step because he's just fun. He's a fun name, right?
Yeah.
That's what Flute McToot is all about. Fun, and occasional bit of shoplifting.
Yeah.
Do you like Flute McToot?
Flute McToot's good. It's got a bit of a comic relief feel to it.
Exactly.
Organised jollity in the office.
Desmond Rice. Now, he's academic, tweed, well-dressed, yeah? Divorced. He collects blood.
Bit too close to home, that one.
Okay. Here's the one I imagine you're going to go for, comic book Andy. The Spiral Wire.
Oh.
Yeah? He's got the ability to achieve extreme length and thinness and wrap himself around enemies.
Oh.
So, or you can be Ronnie Hot Dog.
Physically, I'm not going to struggle with the spiral wire.
Oh, no,
look at the state of us.
Don't worry about that.
Could I transform myself?
Would it be doable? Yeah.
I'm going to go with Flute McToot because it might just put a bit of pep.
It's a bit of pep in the podcast.
The usual depressive output.
Okay, you wouldn't...
Can I check your credentials and do the memory man thing?
Yeah,
we haven't done that for quite a while.
Is it football memory?
It's retail related.
Excuse me, at what point?
1980s retail. What?
All right, I'll have a go at 1980s retail.
Now you see, perked up there, didn't
so
you?
So I need to set myself up first, Andy, say, yes, I know everything there is to know about 1980s retail.
Well, we'll see about that.
Hit me.
Here we go. Do you remember what was on page 215 of the 1986 Christmas Argos catalogue? Page 215. Suck on your crack pipe there.
Yes.
You do?
Yes, I do. I do. That was tough.
Wow. Fantastic stuff.
That was
Yet
tough.
Again, you remain undefeated in the arena of the memory man. Would you like to say piss at this point, Bob?
Yeah, of course I would.
Go on.
Piss.
Thank you very much.
But with that beginning, I think we've used our quarter of rude words, Andy. Please.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, right. Is
Do
that...
you know what I mean? Hey, haven't used me. Do you know what I mean, Andy? Do you know what I mean, though?
You dirty little bastard, Bob.
Oh, stop it. Do you want to talk? Are you willing to talk about Christmas this week?
No, not yet. It's too soon.
So, what do you do for Christmas?
I just said I wasn't going to talk about
well,
Christmas.
Well, I want to talk about... Do you get crackers? Right, do you get crackers?
I go nuts, yeah.
Tea. See, it's Fruit McToot, ladies and gentlemen. Do you get crackers?
Yeah, I'm bonkers, me. Fruit McToot.
Or do you just put a chicken dipper in a bog roll and wrap it in crepe paper?
Do I have to answer this?
Yeah.
I'd rather not.
Okay, next Christmas...
I'll answer it in December.
Well, my next Christmas question, right. I'm not going to ask you anymore because you're not going to cooperate, but do you put both bars of your electric fire on at Christmas, on, say, Christmas Day, or only if your cooking has made someone ill?
I'll go two bars on Boxing Day. I'll go the second bar on Boxing Day.
Okay.
But otherwise, no, just one
Thank
bar.
Thank you, a bit of luxury there in the McToot household.
In my cooking, there's nothing wrong with me cooking.
Isn't there?
No.
Do you leave a chicken dipper and a glass of Monster drink out for Santa?
Yes. Yes, that keeps you happy. Yes.
As you know, Robson, he's been trying to meet Rafa Benitez for a long time now. It just hasn't happened. He stopped singing. He stopped fishing for monster fish. Oh. In fact, Andy, he's... started not believing in monsters of any kind, right?
Oh,
this Rafa thing.
Got the blues, hasn't he?
Got a real obsession. So after the last debacle, when Mark let off a nail bomb in the Outlet Centre,
yeah,
Robson had decided to ditch Mark as his way in to Rafa and find another way. Now, Mark doesn't know about this, so he's just out in the garden last week measuring the gaps between the planks on his fence, like,
yeah,
to see that they haven't moved at all, expanded or shrunk due to damp or whatever. And Barbara comes out into the garden and she says, Mark, so I'll do Barbara's voice, Mark, and he says, what is it, Barbara?
Oh, shit, what is it, Barbara?
There's a message on your phone from Robson. Oh, that's great. I've not heard from him for a while.
Oh, that's great. I've not heard from him for a while.
Maybe he wants to meet up, says Barbara. Oh, I do hope so. I was a bit worried he was mad at me. He's my best friend I've ever had.
Oh, I do hope so. I was a bit worried he was mad at me, but he's the best friend I've ever had.
So he listens to the message, right? And it's from Robson. Yeah, Lawrence, you useless bastard, it's Robson here. I can't forgive you for what happened at the Outlet Centre when you scared off Rafa Benitez with your can of nails. I don't want to see you no more. I reckon if I keep hanging out with you, I'll never meet Rafa Benitez. Goodbye. Whoa, Mark's got a total look of shock on his face. Like that time he put unleaded in his Hyundai instead of diesel. And Barbara says, what is it, love? It's Robson Green. He doesn't want to be my friend anymore.
It's Robson Green. He doesn't want to be my friend anymore.
Barbara says, no, there must be some mistake. No, he called me a useless bastard. It's over.
No, he called me a useless bastard. It's over.
And he turns away and starts measuring the fence gaps again.
Tears in his eyes.
2 millimetres.
Yeah. 2 millimetres.
2 millimetres.
2 millimetres.
2.5 millimetres.
2.5 millimetres.
Oh, heck, good job I checked.
Oh, heck, it's good job I checked.
Meanwhile, Robson has secured a meeting at Shine TV, where Ant and Dec make their shows, right? he's pitching a show where he goes out with a hammer, yeah, and hunts for stuff in the woods, right? And the truth is he's hoping to meet Ant and Dec so they can get him in with Rafa Benitez. Back in the garden, Mark's took his trousers and underpants off and hidden himself, crouched behind the rabbit hutch, right? He's sanding off some of the rough corners with his left hand, and with his right hand, he's massaging his arse and his anus. With a Belinda wipe, right? He's got a problem. You know those daft black ants? You know the ones that are big and then they fly off?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, them ones.
Yeah.
Suddenly his phone rings and it's Rafa.
In his arse? The ants?
No, they're just crawling around on his on his bottom. And Rafa says, "Hey, Mark, my friend, I'm just in the area. Mind if I pop in for a visit?" Right? "Oh, yes, that would be lovely, Rafa. Mind if I invite a friend?"
"Oh, that'd be lovely, Rafa. Mind if I invite a friend?"
"Not at all. I'll be half an hour. I promise, no football talk. I promise, Rafa, I'll dig out a word search and I'll ask Barbara to play her trumpet."
"I promise, Rafa, I'll dig out a word search and I'll ask Barbara to play her trumpet."
"Gracious," says Rafa. So Mark gets straight on the phone to Robson, but he doesn't answer because back at Shine TV, he's just seen Ant and Dec walking into the office carrying the suitcases. Ant spots him, comes walking over, just as one of his secretaries tells Robson, "I've just had a message from Mark Lawrenson. He says Rafa is on his way round. Come over quick." "Hiya, Robson," says Ant, but Robson has made his mind up. "I'm sorry, Ant, I've got to meet Rafa Benitez." So back at Mark's, Rafa and his security bloke and Mark are stood up listening to Barbara play Moonshadow on a trumpet.
Stood up?
Yeah. Mark sees Robson pull up. Yeah, stood up, yeah. Mark sees Robson pull up and beckons him in. Beckons him, come on, Robson.
Come on, Robson.
Robson stands there and he's beside himself. He says, "Oh, Mr. Benitez, you're my absolute fucking hero, man. I would really like to be your friend." Well, at this point, all these ants, right now with the wings, start pouring out of the Belinda wipe that Mark left on his sofa, right? Rafa thinks they're like miniature ISIS drones, and his security man does one of those moves where you jump and bounce off the wall, right? Yeah. Do you know them special moves? And he toe-ends Robson right on his tits. And then he rushes out with Rafa, and once again, it's a disaster for Robson.
Shit.
Yeah. "Oh, no, what a total bastard disaster mess. I sometimes think I'll never get to meet Rafa." And Mark puts his arm round him and says, "Stop droning on about it."
"Stop droning on about it."
"That's not the answer."
"That's not the answer."
"Oh, fuck off, you miserable dozy prick." And he eye-foots it back to Shine as quick as he can. He gets in there out of breath. "Sorry, I just wondered if Ant and Dec were still here." "No, Robson, you've missed them. They've just flown off to the jungle."
Oh, no.
That's not the answer.
No.
That's Mark's joke, you know what I mean?
I think we got that when I did it originally. It's bad news again for Robson Green. I'd like to know more about his hammer.
Yeah, it's a show he wants to do.
The woods.
I mean, I imagine he attacks, I suppose, squirrel, deer and stuff, smacks him with his hammer.
Wood crabs.
Yeah, them. I mean, they're everywhere, aren't they? He probably throws his hammer at them.
Yeah.
So what have you got for us, Andy?
I thought at this point I could do a little yes-no game with you, because I know you enjoy...
Well, I never said I enjoy
judging,
it, but go on.
Gauging things according to yes or no. Here we go. Yes or no, Bob. 5 cats.
Yes.
3 dogs.
No.
5 dogs.
No.
3 cats.
Yes.
Both of Kim Jong-un's knackers.
I'm sorry, Andy. I knew that would come in. It would be his knackersack. Knackersack.
Yes. Yes or no?
No.
Right, okay, 1 out of 5.
Only 1 out of 5? I reckon it was the 3 cats.
We'll never know, will we? Can we pop across to our correspondent, the Secret Soccer Superstar?
Love to. What's he on about this week?
He's on about trying to get a transfer, putting in a transfer request.
Okay, let's have a listen.
So here we go.
"It's not easy getting a transfer, which is probably a good thing. Back when I was a top player, you had to write out an essay giving all the reasons why you wanted to leave the club. and you had to have four good reasons. You couldn't just put, I don't like the strip we're playing, or the goalkeeper stinks of fags. They don't count those as good reasons. Then you had to do a drawing of yourself playing football, but with a sad expression on your face, and submit it to the chairman. And you had to draw it yourself too. For a while, players would get professional artists in to do their pictures for them, but the FA clamped down on it and started making you do the drawing in front of your manager. One time I put a transfer request in a hurry, and I did myself as a stick man hitting a wall. I got 3 months on loan at Bristol City as a punishment. Bastards.
Oh, and that's a clue there, though. Bristol City on loan.
Well, that's one of the... Yeah, there we go. That's a piece of the jigsaw in place, isn't it?
Okay.
Unless...
Newcastle and appeared at loan.
Who said Newcastle? When did he say Newcastle?
Oh, I'm making an assumption there,
aren't I?
He's
just got that accent. I think it's a northeast accent, is it?
Yeah, it says... No, I think it is, yeah.
Born there, like Mickey Hazard was born in Sunderland, but never played for Sunderland. Yeah. He played for Spurs and Chelsea, so that could be...
That could be the... Yeah. All right. Interesting. I'm just wondering. I'm wondering if it's Adam Johnson, you know, trying to earn himself across.
Right. I don't like to confirm or deny who it is, but yeah. Can I just confirm that it isn't
Adam Johnson. Okay.
No, it's not Adam Johnson.
It's time for Gangs of the EPL. Right, well, I promised I'd tell you about Harry Kane getting sent home from the England camp last week.
Yeah.
Now, all the players were staying at that posh hotel at St George's near Burton-on-Trent.
Yeah.
Where they get beer water.
You've
from.
You've been there, have you?
To the posh hotel?
Yeah.
Now, being Burton-on-Trent...
That's less of an impressive answer, really.
Yeah, away match in the League Cup. We won there... Right. 2-1 or 1-0 or 2-0, I can't remember.
God, I asked.
Anyway, Harry Kane, he's in a room next to Eric Dyer. Get their own rooms now, you know.
Does he not share anymore?
No, don't share anymore.
That's a bad thing, I think.
But, of course, the White Arts gang are 3 down. 2 down, aren't they? No, they're 3 down, of course, because Debbie didn't get in the squad.
Yep.
He's injured. And you haven't got Vertonghen or Toby. They're not there. But luckily... For them, for their peace of mind, Theo Walcott's the only Arsenal player there.
Right.
So Harry, to be honest with you, he wants to have it out with him, wants to confront him whilst he's on his own. I mean, that's a bit of a shit house way, but that's the way it is, you know what I mean? So at dinner that night, they follow Theo into the toilets and they burst in and Theo's just stood there staring at himself in the mirror. Harry says, "If you stare at that mirror much longer, Theo Walcott, it will crack because you're so stupid looking like..." Yeah? So Theo turns around. Yeah. He says, "If it isn't Mr. Chinny and his sidekick Eric, what have you come in here for? Kissing a cuddle in the cubicles? Take a photograph, why don't you? Last a lot longer." Harry says, "Well, what a rude thing to say. That's just what I would expect from a peaky gooner. But there is only one of you, so you had better watch out." Theo says, "So why are you going to do? You're going to chin me to death?" Harry says, "Right, that is very upsetting thing to say, alluding to my misshapen chin. It's not my fault, and my mum says it makes my face interesting." Eric says, "I've heard you've been spreading the rumours that I have an undersized Johnson. That is very unfair and not necessarily accurate. You need to check your facts." Theo says, "I've heard it's like a toffee hammer handle when it's on the bunk, but at least that's better than Chinny, the matchstick man." Harry says, "Right, that's it. I've had enough of your gutter talk. Do it, Eric." So Eric gets a teaspoon he's took off the table out of his pocket and he throws it at Theo and it's Theo on the arm. Harry says, "Ha ha, not so cocky now, and you don't have your mates to help you. Do you give in?" Theo says, "No, I don't. It didn't even hurt that much. It just sort of glanced off." And then Theo puts his hand in the sink and scoops up some water, right, and throws it at him. Take that, White Hart. That is unclean water. I've washed my hands in it. I bet that's not very nice. Harry said, no, it's not very nice at all and a bit distressing. Let's get him, Eric. And they start to move towards Theo, right? So just at that moment, a cubicle opens and out comes Jack Wiltshire in his Peaky Gooners gear. He stubs out a cigarette on the floor and he says, if you want to fight Theo, then you have to get past me first. And I am not even joking. I swear, don't even think about it. I'm a little power pack. Because you'll remember, he had his deal with James Arthur that he had to work for the Peakies even though he's at Bournemouth. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And of course, Jack's in the squad. Stay out of this, Jack. Your ass is far too bulky for fighting and I am very surprised at you smoking when you know the damage it can cause to your body. Jack says, I wasn't even smoking, I swear. Someone left it in there. I was just putting it out. Well, I'm not fighting both of you. Our gripe is with Walcott. We will just have to wait till you have gone to your room to phone your mum or something like that. This point, another cubicle opens and out comes Wade Rooney, right? Wade says, all right, lads, I wouldn't... Is this, I can't do Scouse.
Weird.
All right, lads, I wouldn't go in there if I was you. I just spewed up a whole bottle of Di Serrano and a pack of pork pies from the wedding do. I think it's time you went to bed, Wade. You're setting a rotten example to the younger players, which is very upsetting. So Wade leaves. As he's leaving, he pops his head round the door. He says, hey, watch it, lads. The boss is coming. So Eric, hearing that, he just sits on the floor and starts rocking, right? Theo starts pretending to wash his face. Jack just takes his trousers down and starts... starts squeezing a big spot on his fat ass. And Harry runs into a cubicle. So Gareth comes in here. Hey, what's going on here, lads? Jack, absolutely nothing, boss, and I absolutely swear I haven't even seen or noticed anything in the last 24 hours. I promise, boss, and I am not even lying. Suddenly, Gareth hears the sound of someone spewing up in the cubicle. Who's spewing up on international duty, says Gareth. Come out of there with your hands up. That's the correct procedure.
Yeah.
Is what he means. Yeah. Comes out with your hands up. Out comes Harry. Listen, Mr. Southgate, it's not what you think. Wade Rooney used the toilet just before me and he spewed up a load of pork pies and then put a layer of quick Todd on top. I couldn't stop myself spewing, which is something I very rarely do and it has upset me very much. Gareth says, I can smell smoke in here as well and Di Serrano. I didn't expect this of you, Harry, and trying to blame Wade Rooney, who's a model professional. I want you out of this squad immediately. I'll have a car ready for you in 10 minutes.
Oh.
Turns to Theo. Hey, Theo, you can have his place against Spain, and it's nice to see you keeping your face clean. Facial hygiene is very important to me. Right, Gareth leaves. Theo and Jack laugh their heads off, and Eric's just left there rocking on the floor. And that is the end of that's the story
TBC.
Of why... Well, that's the end of the explanation of why he was sent home. Did you think that story was a little bit like Woody Allen's film, Midnight in Paris? Or not really.
No, not at all, no.
Not at all. No, it didn't have a lot of Paris, skyline in it.
Although the unclean water.
Unclean water?
There's some of that in Paris, isn't there? In the scene.
I think that's some sort of metaphor
probably
there.
Probably more of a connection that you've mentioned that. So can I change my answer to yes?
Yeah. Oh,
I found
nice.
It to be a lot like Midnight in Paris,
the Woody Allen film.
I don't think that there would be quite so much of a focus on unclean water if players still shared a room. What do you think?
Yeah, and perhaps not as many illnesses as well if they got themselves more used to bacteria.
Some of the
and
FA
stuff.
Should probably think about. Well, write to the FA about that.
I mean, football now, it's all about child management, isn't it?
Basically, yeah.
To be honest with you, it's like a freaking crash, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably the next... We've got the more caring managers now, the Klopps and that.
Yeah.
You know, probably the next lot won't come from interpreters like Marino and stuff. It'll come from the education. It'll be headmasters.
I can imagine, that the probably next England manager is probably going to be like Super Nanny.
Yeah.
Or someone like that.
Or someone who's turned around the worst academy school in Britain.
Yeah.
He'll get the job. The
Channel 4
like that.
Documentary sort of thing.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Footballers in the Wild, we've had a few more of those in from people that follow us on
right
Twitter.
Here.
Tommy in Isleworth says, I saw Neil Warnock behind the decks at an Essex warehouse party spinning grooves under his pseudonym DJ Evil Horse.
Neil Warnock?
Neil Warnock.
Nice.
Fat Deal from London says, I saw Bakary Sakho redeeming a balloon voucher as given to him by his teammates for his birthday.
Nice.
Didn't see where that was, though, so I think they might have made that up. And Sheila in Wolverhampton says, I just saw Saido Berahino wandering around Birmingham City Centre wearing a muscle vest and shouting, big boy coming through, out of a microphone.
What's happened to Berahino?
Well, he's just doing that, isn't he? He's wandering around Birmingham in a muscle vest, shouting stuff.
Yeah.
If you've got any more sightings of footballers in the wild, you know, get in touch with us and we'll ignore them and then make some up ourselves. I just wanted to explain why I was slightly late this morning, because I kept you waiting before I got here, because I came down from Sunderland this morning.
I just assumed it was because of your slow waddle, you hadn't allowed enough time. But...
Well, I usually factor that in.
Oh, right.
I got up at 3:00.
Waddle factor.
Yeah. But I came down on the early train and I got off at King's Cross.
Right.
Waddled across to St Pancras.
Right.
Because the toilets are free in there, but they're not free in King's Cross. So I went in from a Borthwick.
Oh, what's a Borthwick?
A Borthwick.
No,
are you not familiar with a Borthwick?
No.
It's like the opposite of the Chadwick. It's the first, your first piss of the day, the Borthwick.
Yeah.
So it was quite early. I was the only one in there. And guess who was mopping the floor?
Allardyce.
No. I'll give you a clue.
What?
His voice went, seen you.
That is Jeremy Corbyn.
Jeremy Corbyn.
Jeremy Corbyn.
Was in St Pancras doing a bit of volunteer work.
Ah.
Or so I thought.
Right.
Seen you on the CCTV in here numerous times. No questions. I says, what are you doing? What are you doing in here? Mopping the floor. He says, I'm undercover. Shut your face, laddie. Mm. I says, are you by yourself then? Where's Billy Bragg? He's gone for a shit.
Right.
Now, this is a bit weird, because last time I encountered them, they were setting up some kind of creative agency, him and Billy Bragg.
Yes, they were, weren't they? Going for the John Lewis
account. John Lewis account, so I don't know what they're doing in the bogs at St Pancras. So Billy Bragg kicks the bog door open and comes out, and he says, I'll give it 10 minutes if I were you, Jez. It's what I like to call an ideological shift.
Right.
So Corbyn says, tell him why we're here, Bill. Tell him. Bragg says, we're doing the campaign for a new DIY DNA kit. You take a swab from your used underpants and it links you up on the database with possible family matches. This sounds a bit implausible. Like, I don't know why that's got anything to do with being in the toilets.
Family finding, so.
Family finding, like DNA, like, you know, who do you think you are and all that sort
I see.
That sort of, like, family tree shit.
So you could take a swab off an old
take a swab
artifact
from some old
and
underpants.
See if you were linked to it.
Just take a swab from your pants once you've worn them, and then you send it off to the company, and they do a DNA search against their database and see if they've got anybody else with the same underpant DNA, and they can match it up with long-lost family members.
Oh, right.
So, that's what they're doing, Corbyn says. What do you think's the best idea for that then, laddie? Go on, for promo purposes, what's your best one? I says, what? He goes, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1.5, 0. What's your best one? I says, whoa, hang on, you've gone from 2 to 1 and then back to 1.5.
Yeah,
that doesn't work, that's no good. She says, oh, you fucker, I'll do it again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, what's your best one? Says, who do you think you are? That's my name, right?
Yeah,
either for the company or for like a catchphrase for it or something like that. He says, you Tory bastard. Billy Bragg says, we could take him out on the boat, Jez. Let's take him out on the boat. Corbyn says, don't talk about the fucking boat, Bill. Don't mention the fucking boat. So I don't know what that's about.
Maybe he's on edge, isn't he?
Maybe they run like a pleasure cruiser company or something.
Maybe.
In the summer or that. So I just made me excuses and left at that point. So that company that they're talking about, the DNA thing, they're going to do some promo PR stuff.
For. It's not a terrible idea.
You know what? I've made it up. I've been emailing them. I made the whole thing up, been emailing them. They think it's a real thing. Fucking isn't.
Oh, so you put the idea over
there? Yeah, I've put the idea in their inbox because I know they're not getting any work for this creative agency they're doing.
So you're manipulating them.
Yeah, so the last laugh's on me this time.
It's like post-factual world.
It's post-truth, Bob. It's a post-truth world that we're in. Before we end and we do your Scottish song, I just ask you a quick question?
Of course you can.
Who reaches up for stuff in your house? Because obviously you're quite short.
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you, Andy. I've got a backlog of cereal in my highest cupboard and I lay them on the side going upwards.
Right.
And I really like shredded wheat and oat crunchies.
Yeah, because of your health.
The oat crunchies are at the top and I had to ask my wife to reach them for us the other day.
Right. What would you do if she was away or out? Or just not interested? Which celebrity would you ring up and get to come round and reach up for something for you?
What I'd do is I would just get someone round.
You wouldn't starve, would you?
No, I could take a lower cereal, like a Weetabix, or my wife has got some nutty ones and Alpeny ones. I would get a little power pack round, like a Wiltshire or a Ronnie Corbett or whatever.
Ronnie Corbett's dead, mate.
Is he?
Yeah.
Ronnie Corbett's dead.
I think we mentioned it in an earlier podcast.
Oh, sorry. Oh, well, he just feels like he's still with us.
What, going to do a human pyramid or something?
No, just to get to fetch a chair for me.
Who on the top, that little fella from Star Wars. The Ewok.
Andy, I'm doing an Andy Dawson because I'm going to say that I wouldn't get anyone round. I'd move a chair over and use it to help me reach up.
As the doctor said, you could do that.
Yeah, I could do that.
Risky. All right, fair enough. I reckon that's about it. Have you got a Scottish song for us to end in proceedings?
Yeah, well, you know I've always got a Scottish song.
You do.
I think this one, I thought I'd change it a bit this week and make it about a lassie, instead of a fella, because there's a whole different set of rules on the island for the lasses. So it's about time we found out about them.
Definitely.
This is the tale of Mary McDougall. Mary was the youngest daughter of Thomas McDougall, a farmer held in high regard on the island as its sole producer of turnips and sugar beets. Mary had inherited from her father an arse as wide as a sheep is long, but had plenty tit upstairs to compensate for any imbalance. Her skin was ruddy and well-tempered due to a weekly soak in a tub of turnip water heated to lukewarm but no further. It was the week of her 18th birthday, the date on which she must become the bride of the island laird. Her duty to serve him both in toil and passion, her fate to never leave the laird's castle and bathe in sweet turnip water again. It was Mary's duty to forego her freedom or suffer the pain of forced labour in the caves neath the island. All other lasses had forbear the same fate, but Mary was no ordinary lass. Mary dreamed of escaping to the mainland, the bustling artisan coffee shops with bearded proprietors, housing estates with no through roads where a traveller's only option was to make a three-point turn if sucked into its grip, Wi-Fi hotspots available for free on the registration of a few simple details. She saw herself rushing to the 24-hour copy shop in Stranraer to obtain a large photocopy of her favourite dog to hang on the wall of her new accommodation. When asked what size she required, the laddie would blush as a request for a big one. Though it would be clear from his awkward stance that he was possessed of a long and stout personal pipe. There was only one plan that could see her dreams fulfilled, and that was to murder the laird. But the laird was guarded 24 hours a day by Pet Mare, a beast part wolfhound, part pig, and part generic animal, but worst of all reputed to have the face of Ollie Murs. The face of Ollie Murs. The face of Ollie Murs. But in this respect, Mary had immunity,
for she, unlike most of her race, had no fear of Mers. In fact, she was rather warm to the idea of taking the weight off his knackerback. Her plan was simple. On the night of their betrothal, she would hide a dagger in her girdle and plunge it into his heart as he clambered upon her. If need be, she could dispose of the beast Petmir by the same design. The night arrived and the laird clambered around her endless behind to position himself aside her. She could hear the rhythmic breath of Petmir beneath the bed, and she knew that she must be swift and certain in her attack. The laird spoke. "I'm about to rise up and clamber upon you. Should you refuse or impart any negative signs towards the act, you will be fed to the beast. Do you understand?"
I do," whispered Mary.
The laird made a sudden move towards her girdle, and Mary found herself frozen as his hand chanced upon the dagger. He lifted it to the light and pronounced her fate.
"This one is for you, Petmir. Show her no mercy."
Mary turned her head to address her fate, and what she saw killed her from shock in an instant. The beast did no have the face of Ollie Mers. No, it was far more dastardly. It had the face of Honey G.
The face of Honey G. The face of Honey G.
So there you go. That's another bad fate for the. So the girls on the island, they have to, on their 18th birthday, obviously have to marry the laird and live in his castle.
Yeah. But then she died. Yeah, everyone's dying on that island.
Up to now. But I've heard rumours of an escape.
I hope so, because they haven't had a lot of luck, have they?
Okay then, Andy. Well, you'll need to waddle off into London.
Yeah, well, my train's not for another 3.5 hours, but it's going to take me that long by the time I can drag me fat carcass through the streets.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to my home. I've got 3 boxes of peanut brittle, American peanut brittle,
right,
to get through. And I've got quite a nice selection of cheeses, which I'm not allowed to eat, but I'm going to compensate by having a piece of cheese and then a statin and then another piece of cheese and then a statin and so on.
It's not life, is it?
Well, I hope that you enjoy your time whilst I'm on tour.
Yeah, well, you know, we might meet up at some point.
Maybe.
While you're on the road, or we might hear from you.
Yeah. If people are interested, that you know, there's still a few tickets knocking about in some venues.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, well, it wouldn't surprise you, Andy. Yeah. especially down southwest.
No, yeah.
Portsmouth, Plymouth, Cornwall. Bournemouth. I think there's a couple of tickets left at Blackpool. But yeah, if anyone fancies going, it's worth a look.
You would say that, wouldn't you?
No, it's worth a look to see if you can get tickets.
Oh, right.
You know.
And then forget about it.
Yeah, and then say, did you know there was tickets available? Yeah. And
have didn't fancy going myself because, well, you know, and it's 2016.
I bet you look all the time so you can have a little smug smile on your face. Say, they haven't sold that out then.
Yeah.
They haven't sold that out then.
Well, I've bought lots of them, you see.
Yeah, and you're just not.
And I'm just not turning not up. Turning so there'll be rows of empty seats at the front at each of the shows.
Yeah. Well, it suits me.
Oh, I might turn up myself and just sit right front and centre and just sit with my arms folded and go, right, fucking impress me then, come on.
No, you just shout, pardon, pardon, pardon.
Yeah, so I'll see you there.
See ya.
Bye.